How you guys doing? Awesome. I am surprised the teens have as much energy as they have. Yesterday we had a teen dinner that turned into a righteous dance party. And I specify righteous. DJ Cinto was in the house and he was DJing for us. And he did a great job and the teens had a blast. And I'm surprised Melissa has her voice. And Rachel and the rest of them, they had a great time. Richard is in the Greensville church this morning. He went there to preach for them. So, amen, let's be praying in our heads for him. He's probably up there right now doing his thing. So, they are blessed to have him. Let me ask you guys a question. What's your comfortable? What's your idea of comfort? Isn't being comfortable very personal? You know, some people might think, when you think of comfortable, you think of a cold, you know, on a cold day having a nice warm bowl of soup. Stew. See, I didn't miss a beat. Or you can think about a nice, fluffy, warm, down pillow top mattress. Doesn't that sound good? Some of you, That sounds good, right? But no one wants to be in their bed right now, right? Amen. Praise God. No one buys a lumpy bed on purpose, right? We want to be comfortable. Why do we go out most of the time? Because we want to be comfortable. We don't want to cook. We don't want to do the dishes. We just want to kind of eat, be served, chill out, and relax. We want to be comfortable. The title of this message is called Pushing Past Comfortable. When you're comfortable, you will not grow. You have to be uncomfortable to grow. When guys are lifting weights, they're not lifting up 2 pounds because they know that won't do anything for them. It will actually frustrate their muscles. Your muscles want to do more. They want to be exerted. You know what? The spiritual muscle within you, the Holy Spirit, wants to be exerted as well. God calls us to live a life that is not comfortable. You know, there's a huge difference between being comfortable and having the comfort of God. A huge difference, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We can't be lazy boy Christians. What do I mean by that? Think about the chair that we all love, especially the brothers. You like having your nice armchair that it reclines. They call it a lazy boy for a reason. Because when you're in that thing, you feel lazy. And is it okay to be lazy every once in a while? Absolutely. But that can't be our everyday life, especially as Christians. My first point is nothing can grow unless we sow. Look over in Matthew 13. Nothing can grow unless we sow. To sow, we must leave the lazy boy and get out to the fields. Matthew 13, starting in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds quickly came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to us, right? And there's a lot of great teachings in here. We usually focus on the soil. You know, who are we? Which soil are we, right? And a lot of times we're a combination of the two. But you know what? I'm not going to teach you about that today. What I want you to focus on is the sower. The sower is the farmer. Raise your hand if you're a farmer. See, I have one over there. There's two, three. There you go. We got a couple farmers in the house. Four. You haven't farmed a thing in your life. It's a team, please. The only thing he farmed is his parents' kitchen. But most of us aren't farmers, right? There's not too much dirt under our fingernails. We're not in there doing the work. Think about how hard it is to be a farmer, especially back in this time. They didn't have the modern equipment we have today. So when Jesus is speaking to these guys about something that they all pretty much did, it really related to them, right? You know, I'm not a farmer, but I know that there's a lot of heavy work, a lot of work to do. What's the first step in farming? The first step is get out the house. You can't farm from the lazy boy. You can't sit there and sow seeds. I wish I had a chair here right now. But you can't be all reclined, all relaxed, and sowing seed. It ain't going to go nowhere. You're going to create more work for yourself because you're going to have to vacuum it up. And hopefully it won't grow because you don't have dirt on your floor. But anyway, I digress. You got to get uncomfortable. You got to get to work. There's no way that the farmer can sow a seed without getting onto the fields. Why is it so important for the farmer to get on the fields? Because if he doesn't sow, nothing will grow. And if nothing grows, his family will starve. You know, a lot of times as Christians, the reason we sow our seed is not to benefit ourselves. It's to benefit the hungry people that are out there that desperately need us to get off the lazy boy and get out to the fields. Amen? You know, Jesus calls us to serve, to give, to love, and to sacrifice. That is the life of a sower. That is the life of someone who decides, you know what? I may be tired today, but I'm going to push past tired. I'm going to push past comfortable and do what it is God wants me to do. Is that comfortable? Absolutely not. But when did you ever see Jesus being comfortable in life? We're going to look at several instances. You know, we're not called to live a comfortable life. We're called to bring his comfort to the world. What is that? What is his comfort? Well, think about it when you are in the world. Some of you right now that are visiting with us, welcome. But you need God's comfort, don't you? If you're here this morning, whether you're a disciple or not, you need God's comfort. If you're here this morning, it's not by mistake. God is speaking to you this morning, and I hope you hear it and receive it because he wants to comfort you. You know, as disciples, we need to push past comfortable so that we can actually get on the fields. You know, sometimes we actually have to get out the boat. In Matthew 14, there's a scripture we know very well, but I want to give you a visual on that. Larry, if you could show that video, that would be great. I'm serious. The sound of this thing, it's not a black and white.
They said, and cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them,
"Take courage, it is I! Don't be afraid!"
Lord, if it is you,
Peter replied,
"Thou hast it up to you on the water!"
He said it. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out,
you doubt?
When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying,
Awesome God.
Awesome. Don't you dare laugh at Peter. I haven't seen any of you walk on water. You know, it's funny. Me and my wife love this version of Jesus. He's so happy. And he laughs. You got to watch this version of Jesus. It's the visual Bible, Matthew, the visual Bible. But this Jesus is like real happy. But anyway, he laughed. He laughed when he got in the water. He laughed when he picked him up. Anyway, but see, that's how Jesus is supposed to be, right? Personable, not this. Anyway, that's a different sermon. Did that look like a comfortable situation to you? First of all, they were in the middle of a storm that was threatening their lives. And here comes Jesus. Now, where Jesus was it raining around him? Yeah, it was. He was in the storm with them, right? See, there's a point right there. Jesus doesn't clear the storm for you. He joins you in the storm. Oh, come on, man. That's awesome. He's not just going to stop it. He says, come on, I'm going to join you, and I'm going to help you go through the storm. And then I'll calm it. That's how it happened, right? That's scripture right there. You know, our lives don't always run smoothly. If you're waiting for perfection, I pray you make it to heaven. Because that's the only place you're going to find perfection. It's not going to be here. So if you're waiting for that perfect spiritual day, to just really make it happen, you're waiting for a day that's not going to happen until you die and meet with Jesus. We need to push past the storm. Sometimes you just got to get out the boat. You know, it didn't look comfortable, right? He was there. You know, in this scene, maybe the boat was a little bit more comfortable than the ocean. But he decided to step out. And what did he do? He did something great. How many of you have walked on water? How many of you have stepped out on faith and been sustained by God's supernatural power? It takes you to get out the boat for God to do incredible things in your life. You know what? Comfortable is not the place where you're going to grow in life. When you're uncomfortable, God will do incredible things. My third point is this. We are sent out to bring comfort to a hurting world. Look over in Matthew 10. See, we're going to stay in Matthew today to make you comfortable. No, I'm kidding. Matthew 10, starting in verse 1. We're going to read a large chunk of Matthew 10, but we're going to break it up a little bit. Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, let's stop here for a minute. You know, right off in verse 1, I see that life is getting just a little bit more complicated for the 12, isn't it? You know, they're walking with Jesus. And a lot of times when you're walking with Jesus, life could be, you know, I won't say comfortable, but when you're walking in his power, it's a lot better than walking without his power, isn't it? There's a lesson right there. That when we walk with him, we can't take it for granted the things he allows us to do in him. We quickly realize how little power we have when we leave him and we try to go do it on our own. See, we have the luxury to always be with Jesus in spirit, right? You know, first they're called to leave their jobs. They're called to leave things that they know well, and they're called to do things that they're not comfortable with. You know, he calls them to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. You know, that's a lot to expect from a band of fishermen, a tax collector, and a zealot. You know, I don't think they were doing in their jobs, doing a lot of driving out of impure spirits. Imagine if we came here on a Sunday and Richard said, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to actually have church today. We're going to actually go out into the field and drive out impure spirits. Who's with me? How many hands would go up? That's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? And it gets worse as we keep on reading, actually. You know, he calls them to go proclaim. What does it mean to proclaim? To preach. How many times did Peter preach while he was a fisherman? How many times did the tax collector preach while he was being a tax collector? He was calling them all to the same standard, which was to be uncomfortable. These guys were not eloquent men, but yet God, Jesus, told them, I want you to go and proclaim. Proclaim to me suggested that he wants you to speak with power, with force. Are you comfortable being forceful? Good. Some of you aren't. Some of us just aren't, right? We'd rather be kind of low-key and, you know, unassuming. Well, when I look at Jesus, he wasn't harsh by any stretch, but he was a passionate man. Is being passionate comfortable for you? Or does it take you out of your comfort? It's uncomfortable for me to be on the stage. I'm a very shy person, which, don't laugh, but I know, wearing a color like this, how could I be shy, right? But I am very shy. When I come to a party, when I come to a place where I don't know people, I gravitate towards the wall. And I'd rather stay there until I get comfortable, then I'll come out. But as a disciple, I'm called to be in the middle of the floor. I'm called to come on a stage and proclaim the message of God to you, whether I'm comfortable or not. Are you comfortable being quiet at work? Who are becoming disciples around you because of your comforts? God's just calling us guys to be uncomfortable. And does it stink sometimes? Absolutely. But that's when you grow. That's when you grow. It's during those times when we fight ourselves and that we do things in spite of our discomfort. That's when our characters grow the most. In verse 8, he tells them to go heal the sick. Raise the dead. When's the last dead person you raised? You know, to raise a dead person, you got to be around the dead person. You know what I'm saying? You ain't just going to stay here. Okay, I wish they raised. No, you got to go be with them, right? To go heal a leper, you got to find the leper. Are you out there looking for the leper? Or are you just comfortable in your lazy boy Christianity? No leper, no one's going to be healed by us staying at home. You know, if you want to stay home, it's cool. Make sure you have two lazy boys so you can invite your boy or your girl over and y'all could be lazy together and building some great relationships, right? How comfortable are you in your relationships that you have? Man, I'm in straight up many relationships that make me just uncomfortable. Having a disciple time with Richard Alloway sometimes is uncomfortable because he's going to call me to do something that I don't want to do. We've gotten together, and I'm like, everything in my body is fighting what you're saying right now. But I'm going to do it because I know when I'm uncomfortable, I'll grow. Let's continue reading in Matthew 10, verse 9. It says, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt. No bag for your journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their home until you leave. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. You know, in verse 9, Jesus is telling them to go without provision. How many times have you gone on a trip and you just didn't bring anything? Sisters? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Your husband brings one bag and you got the attaché, you got it loaded down. Why? Because you want to make sure you have everything, right? You might not like the hair dryer. I notice I don't use hair dryer. Hair dryer that they have at the hotel, right, honey? I don't like that one. It's not strong enough. Whatever. So what do you got to do? You got to carry it. What does Jesus tell these guys? Don't bring money. Don't even bring a change of clothes. Don't even bring a stick to help you walk. Depend on me totally for everything, for every meal, every place you'll stay, even your clothes. Was that a comfortable call? Absolutely not. But what did he do? He sent them out. Why? To give his comfort to the people. He told them to heal them, right? He wanted them to heal them. He wanted to take away the things that ailed them. I mean, there was some judgment talk up in here too. You know, go to a place that's worthy. Go to a place where they'll accept you. And if they don't, just shake the dust off your feet and keep it moving. Did he say shake the dust off your feet? And you're allowed to go back home. You're allowed to go back home and wallow in self-pity because they didn't listen to you. Don't we sometimes get comfortable with that, doing that? You know, we talk to several people about coming to church or reaching out to people, and, you know, we get very far with them, and they're just like, I don't want to do this. And we take it personal. We allow that person to discourage our faith when we know that there are some people that just won't obey God. If you've done everything you're supposed to do, shake that dust off your feet and keep a stepping. There are people in this world that are dying to know God. They would die to be sitting in these seats right here. They want to be fed. They just don't know better. Guys, let's go out there and find the people that don't know better. It's not as hard as we make it. We just got to be constantly doing it. There's a couple guys I'm talking to, reaching out and trying to get them to church. They're you know, not responding. I need to shake that dust off my feet and keep it moving. Now, do I end the relationship? No. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that we don't let it sweat it and we keep on going. We keep the relationship, but we look for others that might be more receptive right now. We're called to make people uncomfortable, guys. Jesus made these apostles uncomfortable. In your discipling relationships, are you comfortable? Are you calling each other to stuff that you're just like, dang, I don't believe he just said that biblically. Now, I'm talking about the Bible now. Don't ask me to make you a ham sandwich at 2 o'clock in the morning just to make me uncomfortable. I'm talking about biblical statutes. If you lie, don't lie. If you cheat, don't cheat. If you're a coward, stop being a coward so God can use you. We need to be calling each other out righteously and in love. But isn't it uncomfortable to call somebody out on their sin? Of course it is. If you enjoy calling people out, you got issues. And people don't feel your love. And if they don't feel your love, you're just a resounding gong. And no one will change. People will change when they realize that you love them. You know, to walk with God, we must depend on him for everything. Not just the stuff you're willing to let him take control of. Ooh, God, I got this. This part of my life, I got this part. If you could really help me with this, you know, I really need a better job, God. If I had a better job and a better field to plow, may I serve you better. God's like, no, work where you're at now, and when you need more, I'll give it to you. Are you being faithful with what you have? Let's continue reading. You guys with me? Yeah. All right. Matthew 10:16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Man, this is challenging. You know, we read this, and for some of us, we've read this a lot of times. Can you imagine hearing this? This not being a scripture, but spoken specifically to you. Can you imagine their reaction? Hold up. A couple weeks ago, I was fishing. I was with my wife and my kids. I had two lazy boys, one in the living room, one in the basement. Some of us have more, you know, TVs than we have Bibles. TV in the bedroom, TV in the living room, TV in the basement, one in the bathroom if we're real, you know, MTV cribs, you know, whatever it is nowadays. We strive for comfort. We think about it all the time. But God says, no, I want you to be uncomfortable, because in that discomfort, I will make you grow and I will work through you. You know, if sheep could speak, what would they say if they saw a flock of wolves coming towards them? Oh, shucks. You know, they wouldn't be excited to see them, right? They wouldn't be like, oh, cool, let's lay down, let's hang out with these guys. You know, let's enjoy ourselves with them. No, the wolves want to eat them. That's a little uncomfortable. Imagine you going to a place where they eat you. You probably would not want to go there by choice. But Jesus said, you are sheep. I'm going to send you to where people want to eat you. I'm going to send you where people are going to put their own parents to death because of me. Their own children to death because of me. And these guys still went. See, when you're uncomfortable, whether you like it or not, do you still go? In the song we were singing before, I will obey. I will obey. Are you obeying? Especially when it's uncomfortable. In verse 21, Jesus says that there will be times of trouble ahead. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say, you know, I think this could have possibly happened. This is God speaking. This is coming. So y'all better buckle up and get ready, because this is not going to be optional. Think about the lives of the apostles. All but one were martyred for Jesus. And obviously Judas killed himself. But the rest of the apostles were martyred for being uncomfortable. You know, Peter was, you know, they say in history that Peter was crucified upside down. Other guys were beheaded. Isn't that a little uncomfortable? Somebody said to you, hey, come here. I want to put you in chains for the rest of your life. Paul was in chains a lot, wasn't he? I bet you he was a little uncomfortable. I couldn't tell from the scriptures, though. He didn't spend any time complaining. Now, obviously, we didn't walk with him. Hey, we're all entitled to a bad day here and there. You know what I'm saying? We're not perfect. I get that. What I'm saying is, are you living comfortably? It's okay to be comfortable every once in a while. But guys, when we're comfortable and we're not doing God's work, there are people in this world that are missing out on the comfort of God because we're being selfish. That's exactly what it is. You know, as Christians, we're called to imitate Christ. If Jesus himself left a comfortable place called heaven to come here and be crucified, can he call us to a different standard? Yes, he can. He has the authority. He has the power, and he has the right to call us to do whatever he wants us to do. Now, we have the option whether we obey or not. Guys, comfortable, hey, when you go on vacation, you look for comfortable, right? You don't live on vacation. You go to vacation. Guys, as Christians, we have to live an uncomfortable life. As Christians, we know we need to make sure that we're living differently to bring comfort to this hurting world. You know, this week, I want you to be uncomfortable. This week, I want you to do something that totally feels wrong for the glory of God. Amen? I want you to go out there and meet people that maybe are not of your ethnicity. Might be younger than you, older than you. That might intimidate you. I call you to be disciples who are not comfortable. And we're going to watch what God does as he brings us and sends us out to bring comfort to this world. Amen.